WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The Danish-born director Billy August became world-famous in 1988 when his movie Pelle the Conqueror won the Best Foreign Film Oscar and the grand prize at the Cannes Film Festival. His 1992 movie Best Intentions, with a screenplay by Ingmar Bergman, also took the top prize at Cannes. And now he's written and directed The House of the Spirits, from the celebrated novel by Isabel Allende, the niece of Chile's martyred president, Salvador Allende. Film critic Stephen Schiff has a review.
What do you get when you take a Danish director, a German producer, a Chilean novel, and a cast plucked from England, the U.S., Spain, Venezuela, and Germany? The answer is pudding. House of the Spirits is what is called an international co-production, and essentially that's a funding ploy. One of the ways you can raise enough money to make an expensive movie is by selling it to distributors all over the world even before it's made. And if you fill the movie with familiar names from all over the world, that makes your selling job a lot easier. But it often makes the film a lot sillier. And the riot of accents and acting styles in House of the Spirits is a perfect example. Not that consistency of tone would have helped this picture any. House of the Spirits is a mess, almost from the moment it begins. Isabel Allende's novel covered three generations of a powerful South American family, and the film does the same. We see a woman go mute and learn to speak again. We see a poisoning, a rape, a courtship and a marriage, several instances of ESP, and a fatal car wreck. And that's all in the first half hour. The movie revolves around Esteban Trueba. He's played by Jeremy Irons with a drifting accent and a variety of streaky-looking makeup jobs. Esteban is an ambitious young man who builds a ranching empire out of nothing, and along the way he becomes a tyrant, abusing his workers so much that they contemplate rebellion. Meanwhile, he maintains a loving and somewhat inexplicable relationship with his wife, Clara, played by Meryl Streep, as a gossamer saint with magical powers. As Esteban, Irons spends most of the movie fuming and raging, especially when he finds out that his daughter, played by Winona Ryder, has fallen in love with Antonio Banderas as Pedro, the son of the ranch foreman. When Irons discovers that Ryder is pregnant, he goes ballistic and turns his wrath on saintly Meryl Streep.
This is your fault. You're the one who brought her up without any sense of morals, without religion, without principles. She has no idea who she is. She's my daughter. If she'd done this with someone from a decent family, then maybe I could have understood. But with that sneaky, dirty little son of a bitch, I'll kill him. I swear on my mother's soul. When I find him, he'll wish he'd never been.
Pedro has done nothing that you have done yourself. You've also slept with women not of your own class. But he did it for love.
If all this sounds vaguely like parody, that's how it plays, too. Unlike stage actors, movie actors perform their roles in little snippets, hoping all the while that the bits and pieces will coalesce in the editing room. In House of the Spirits, they don't. The movie is a basket of snippets. Nothing lingers, nothing stays, nothing makes you care or even engages your interest. The film tries to cover so much ground that it scarcely touches down at all. House of the Spirits, indeed. The characters in this movie feel as weightless as ghosts. And I'm afraid no amount of huffing and puffing, not even from a veritable UN of celebrated actors, can bring them to life.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.